Artemis Fowl II isn't your typical 13-year-old. With multiple technology patents and a talent for orchestrating sophisticated heists, this teenage genius has built a criminal empire that would impress even the most hardened adult criminals. But beneath his calculating exterior lies a wounded child haunted by loss. 2 years ago, his father disappeared when the Fowl Star was attacked by the Russian mafia in the Bay of Kola. The wreckage was found, no bodies were recovered, a detail Artemis clings to with desperate hope. As his mother retreated into depression, Artemis shouldered responsibilities far beyond his years, amassing £15 million through various schemes to fund search operations across Russia. His weekly sessions with school psychologist Dr. Poe reveal his obsession and impenetrable facade. Everything changes when Butler, his towering bodyguard, interrupts therapy with urgent news, a grainy video showing a man bound to a chair in a snow-covered landscape with a sign reading, "Hello, son," in Cyrillic. Despite the poor quality, Artemis recognizes his father's subtle mannerisms. This discovery catalyzes immediate action. Artemis initiates a complex rescue operation, directing Butler to convert fairy gold into untraceable funds. They'll travel under chess championship aliases, Stefan Bashkir and Uncle Constantine, taking their private jet to Scandinavia before switching to maritime transport. The mission carries extreme risks, but for Artemis, no danger is too great when it comes to bringing his father home. While Artemis plots his father's rescue, trouble brews below Earth. Captain Holly Short, demoted after the Artemis Fowl incident, monitors an abandoned Paris pressure elevator with Sprite Chicks Verbal when they detect figures without heat signatures. The routine check turns dangerous when Chicks is shot through the wing. Holly discovers goblins wearing reflective suits and carrying soft-nosed lasers modified to run on human AA batteries, technology beyond goblin capabilities. This alarms Fairy Command. Someone is arming the volatile Bois-Kel goblin triad and trading with humans. Commander Root and Foley, the paranoid technical genius, immediately suspect Artemis given his history with fairy technology. The actual masterminds operate from a hidden laboratory beneath Haven City. Opal Cowboy, a brilliant but megalomaniacal pixie inventor, has partnered with Briar Cudgeon, a disgraced LEP officer. They're arming the Bois-Kel for revolution, with Opal providing resources while using a human trader for batteries. Holly captures Artemis and Butler, bringing them to Police Plaza, where a Rettimiger scan proves their innocence. Rather than releasing them, Commander Root proposes an alliance. He needs Artemis's help finding who's supplying weapons to the Bois-Kel goblins. Artemis agrees on one condition: ferry transport to Russia to rescue his father. Holly becomes their shuttle pilot to Paris, forming a reluctant partnership that becomes the emotional core of the story. In Paris, Butler tracks down Luke Carrère, the human supplying batteries to goblins. They discover Carrère was mesmerized and never directly met the goblins, suggesting a fairy traitor. When Foley reveals Haven has been overrun by goblins with Cudgeon and Opal behind the plot, they need to act quickly. Their only hope is Mulch Diggums, a kleptomaniac dwarf who once broke into Cowboy Labs. They recruit him from Los Angeles with the promise of a 2-day head start afterward. With Haven City besieged and LEP weapons disabled by Opal sabotage, the team must infiltrate Cowboy Laboratories. Mulch identifies their only entry point, a fissure that opens briefly before a magma flare, leading to a titanium rod he and his cousin had fraudulently filled with sewage. Holly pilots their shuttle through the closing tunnel with magma in pursuit, barely escaping as rock plates crash behind them. The group trudges through sewage until reaching a flexibond patch from Mulch's previous break-in. Inside, they split up. Root, Holly, and Butler head toward the computer center to confront the goblins, while Artemis and Mulch take another route. When Mulch develops a digestive blockage, Artemis helps him release dwarf gas that incapacitates an approaching goblin lieutenant. Using Mulch's knowledge, Artemis navigates deactivated plasma pipes overhead. Despite warnings about residual charge, he enters the conduit wearing an LEP helmet, enduring painful shocks as he pulls through orange gel. After 63 agonizing pulls, he emerges into the inner sanctum where Cudgeon and Goblin generals watch Butler battle their forces. With the fairy revolution quelled, Artemis finally focuses on rescuing his father. Commander Root honors their deal, providing transport to the Arctic Circle on a rusting nuclear submarine. Mikhail Vaskin and Kamar, the Mafia enforcers who captured Artemis Sr., await ransom with 100 armed men. When Artemis demands to see his father and the Russians comply, Butler shoots him with a fairy rifle. The shocked Russians throw the bleeding man overboard. Artemis then offers a new deal. He'll leave the ransom money on a nearby hill, claiming he wanted his father dead to maintain control of his empire. The greedy Russians abandon their posts for the money, actually fairy counterfeit that will dissolve in 72 hours. Meanwhile, Holly flies to rescue Artemis Sr. from the freezing Arctic waters. Despite Fairy's hatred of cold, she plunges into the sub-zero radioactive water, locates him, and rockets back through the rapidly freezing ice hole. Throughout their adventure, Artemis undergoes significant moral growth, learning the value of cooperation and sacrifice. This transformation becomes evident during a goblin ambush on a radioactive chemical train. When Commander Root and Butler dangle from a pitten line, Artemis braves fierce winds to reach the train's roof, melts the skylight with fairy acid, and tumbles inside. After pulling Holly in, the train rounds a bend, knocking her unconscious. When Artemis collapses on her, his contact diverts her healing magic to himself, magic she desperately needs. Root reveals Holly lost her trigger finger and couldn't heal because Artemis took her magic. Determined to help, Artemis performs the ritual beneath Arctic ice using Holly's acorn, restoring her magic and healing her finger. When Holly awakens, she tests her healed finger by punching Artemis, declaring them even now. This moment represents their transformed relationship. Holly willing to risk her life for Artemis's father and his determination to restore her magic. The Arctic incident marks a turning point in Artemis Fowl's character. Once an amoral child kidnapper, he evolves into someone more complex, still calculating, but capable of selflessness. This evolution stems from vulnerability. Fearing for his father's safety reveals the wounded child beneath the mastermind. His relationship with Holly Short transforms from hostility to respect, symbolized by her gift of a coin shot through the center, his spark of decency. Butler witnesses this growth when Artemis sobs after his father's rescue, deepening their bond beyond bodyguard and principal to something like family. When Dr. Poe asks if he's found anyone worthy of respect, Artemis thinks of his father, Holly, and Butler. Significant growth for someone who once viewed others merely as tools. Yet, Colfer avoids a complete transformation. Artemis remains fundamentally himself, still contemplating schemes even as his moral compass shifts, making his journey believable.